You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Putin's demands threaten global food security. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning to you. Thanks for tuning in. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the landmark Black Sea grain deal with Ukraine won't be restored until the West meets Moscow's demands on its agricultural exports. But Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is still hopeful a deal can be done. With all the details, the BBC's Victoria Craig joins us from Ankara in Turkey. Hi, Victoria.
Hello.
Listen, Victoria, can you remind us how crucial this deal is for global food supplies, first of all?
Yes, so it's really significant for global food security. In fact, the UN says over the course of the deal, which lasted about a year, almost 33 million tons of food commodities were exported from three Ukrainian Black Sea ports to 45 countries around the world. And in that time, the UN also says global food prices dropped 11%.
Turkey's President Erdogan, he's still hopeful they can reach an agreement. I mean, Victoria, it really seems as if we're caught between a rock and a hard place. But what do you think?
I think there was a lot of optimism going into the talks yesterday, certainly from the Turkish side. And afterwards, I think President Erdogan was clearly very disappointed. Ahead of him, he said that he believed that a post-meeting message would be, quote, very important to the world, especially underdeveloped African countries. And obviously, no deal happened. The original grain deal was negotiated between the UN and Turkey and then Russia and Ukraine. So Turkey and President Erdogan were crucial in that original deal. And I think he really wants to play a role in helping to secure another iteration of that. President Putin, though, he keeps talking about sort of this alternative proposal in which he sends discounted grain to Turkey. It's financed through Qatar, and then it's shipped from Turkey to a range of African countries. President Erdogan, though, says that's really not a workable solution. It's not a long-term thing. There's not enough security around it. He really wants to work with the UN.
Victoria Craig, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's do the numbers. Shares in the Chinese property giant Country Garden pared back losses earlier after local media reported it had managed to avoid its first default. And Novo Nordisk, that's the maker of Ozempic and Wegovy, has become Europe's most valuable company based on closing prices for the first time. Now, thousands of senior doctors and dentists in New Zealand have staged their first ever strike. Unions want wage increases in line with inflation, which stands at 6%. The head of the doctors' union, Sarah Dalton, explains the reasons for the two-hour stoppage.
The last time they had an increase that met inflation was in 2020. They got 1.9%. And what they are offering is equivalent to between 4 and 5% for our members. We say that's not good enough. We rely very heavily on an international workforce. Nearly 50% of our consultants here come from other parts of the world. We're in an international market and we have significant vacancies now that are not being filled.
That was Sarah Dalton there. And meanwhile, the government says it's offered a fair deal. Now, we talk about this a lot, but the pandemic, it changed the way we work, meaning fewer of us are in the office, and that's changed the shape of towns and cities around the world. And one example is Canary Wharf in London's Docklands, home to some of the world's biggest banks. Transformed from a shipping dock to a financial district in the 80s, Londoners associate this area with big corporate offices, big banks, and the rush of the morning and evening commute. But when HSBC and others announced their intention to abandon its skyscraper in the Docklands, from the outside looking in, the area was soon set to become another casualty of a post-pandemic, working-from-home corporate culture. So let's hear what Ross Blake, owner of the cafe and bar 640 East, thinks about the changes.
We're seeing much more footfall on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday than we are to a Monday and a Friday. So our kind of patterns have changed a little bit. It's all condensed into those 3 days rather than traditionally pre-COVID. It was obviously Friday was our busiest night.
So there's clearly been changes in Canary Wharf. From a business perspective, the traditionally busier days have shifted to midweek. The question is that necessarily a bad thing? John Halla owns John Halla Hair Salon in the Canary Wharf Shopping Centre. He was initially attracted to Canary Wharf because of the area's reputation as a financial district. But it's the Canary Wharf residents who are really his loyal customers.
There's been a shift. I mean, there's lots of residentials. There's five more residential towers going up. This has particularly been good in general because it just means that if Canary Wharf is not going to be dependent on the financial, then obviously it's a sort of replacement.
It's a nice day, so my whistle-stop tour of Canary Wharf brought me to Badiani, a gelato shop in the Wood Wharf complex.
What do you think is the best flavour?
Most popular flavours are the Dolce Vita.
Maddalena Riccardi is its store manager. She says only 20% of her customers are office workers. She also says that's fine, because since the area is building more residential buildings instead of offices, that's good for her business.
To be honest, our business is more connected with residential, so it's not really a big problem for us as a gelato business. But thinking about probably other companies, other like products, it might be a problem. But for us, it's not really, really, really a huge problem.
So, I guess when it comes to Canary Wharf, it's not a story of crisis, it's just a story of change. And finally, does it feel like there were a lot of people vacationing in Europe this summer? Well, according to data aggregator FordKeys, overseas flights, bookings to Northern Europe from June to August were up 25% compared to last year and up 13% to Southern Europe. And an uptick in US visitors helped to offset the impact of extreme heat and stubborn inflation. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Have a great day.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.